Hello and welcome. This is D. Garrett Nadeau presenting one of a number of podcasts on behalf of the Lancashire Authors Association. My guest for the show is Peter Jones, who is, to my mind, my technical guru. He's the man who's helped me get my book published. I'll put in a little plug for my book, The Cloven Pine. He edited the book very carefully, word for word, checked all the spelling and grammar mistakes, etc., and we've got that all sorted out, and is also going to be doing a website for me. He's a whiz kid at doing websites. He's also done a website for the Lancashire Authors Association, and that is available for people who want to have a look at that, and I'll be giving you the website address a little bit later for the Lancashire Authors Association. Peter, welcome to the show. I'm glad you could join us.
You're welcome.
And maybe Peter can tell us a little bit about, how did you get into doing sort of editing and website creations and all of that sort of thing?
Well, that's fairly recent, really. I just fancied doing a little bit on that, and I went to college. And to be perfectly honest, I was the only student in the class, and they didn't have much call for this. And I ended up teaching myself because the guy who might have taught me hadn't done it for about 5 years, so he was fine, but we got there between us.
Well, that sounds great. It's been my experience, really, that publishing and sort of writing is more about than just writing. I mean, if you want to reach a mass audience, you need the marketing, you need the publicity, you need sort of extras. And in the past, it seems to me that publishers tended to do that for you. But nowadays, publishers are doing that less and less, and it's up to the author himself, the writer himself, to kind of self-promote. And part of that is having a website. I think most authors have websites. So it sounds to me like it's an up-and-coming industry, a business that is going to be needed in the future. How do you go about sort of dealing with an author? If an author comes to you and says, I'd like you to do a website for me, What happens? What do you do? How do you address that?
Well, I'd find out what his wants and needs were first, and then I'd tell him he couldn't have them because it wouldn't work, and then we'd carry on from there. But eventually we'd come to some sort of an agreement where we got some artwork done for his website and obviously tried to promote his book, but at the same time, I would probably advise him to get in touch with other like-minded people and put links on his site to their site, which they would reciprocate, and that's the way that the word gets round.
So websites are really about linking to other websites and getting like Facebook and Twitter and all of that sort of stuff. Would you make connections to those, or is that a separate kind of thing?
It's quite easy for people to do that, to connect to Facebook and Twitter these days. It's very simple. Most people do it that don't even know anything about websites, you know.
And blogs and that.
That's true, but to get the word out there, I mean, a website is only any good if people know it's there. And if you don't know it's there, then it's just useless. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So how do you go about getting people to know that it's there? How would you do that?
Well, I think people do that in various ways. I mean, some people allow people to advertise on the site, which means that the advertisers obviously tell all their customers where to find the adverts, and the authors tell all their people where to find, you know, the blogs and everything. So it is, it's definitely, it's like everything else, word of mouth is very important in the first place. And once the website's established, then it's a matter of maintaining it and putting things on there that are going to actually promote your business, your book, or whatever you want to promote on it.
Right. Let's talk about Lancashire Authors then for a little bit. How did you get involved in doing the website for them?
Right. Well, that's a strange one because I've been a member of Lancashire Authors now since 1990, but to be quite honest, I'd not gone to as many meetings from about 2007, 2008 onwards, just a couple of AGMs really, and a phone call came out of the blue from someone called Olive Riley, but she was a competition secretary from 2006. And apparently on the recommendation of a friend of mine called Pauline Hutchinson, who was on the committee, and they said that they'd lost a secretary, they'd lost quite a few committee members, and they first of all, they asked me if I was interested in being secretary or librarian. And I said, not really secretary. I might have done librarian because the library is in Accrington. But when I went to the AGM to discuss it, I found out they were sorely in need of a decent website. And that's why I said I'd do that, you know, sort of to help them out. And from there, I got invited to a meeting to explain when the website was up, all about the website. And at that meeting, I got co-opted on the committee somehow. So there I am on the committee. And of course, I'm doing the website doing free of charge.
Yeah.
So there
you
go.
That's great. That's really good. You've mentioned the library and the Accrington connection. Can we just say a little bit more about Lancashire Authors and the library in Accrington? Because there is a room, I think, in Accrington Library.
Yeah, it's across the room, and I think there's over 2,000 books in there. I mean, a lot of things. When Lancashire authors die, the relatives tend to palm us off with all the scraps of paper with the shopping lists on, things like that. So we're trying to pare all that down. But if someone's actually been published and they're a member of Lancashire authors, they're entitled to have the work in there. And also, if they've edited a book, they're entitled to have the work in there. And as I say, there are over 2,000 volumes at the moment.
So that's actually in the Accrington Library. There's a room that's devoted to the Lancashire Authors Association.
That's correct.
And previous authors who've been connected to Lancashire Authors. And that's accessible to anybody. The public have access to it?
Well,
if they go upstairs,
it requires a key to get in. All the committee can get in the room, but by request, any member can get in the room as well. And if anyone isn't a member, they can still access the work that's in there by just ringing the local library, because everything is catalogued.
Right. So if you're doing some research, for example, on a particular Lancashire author, and you discover that there's some of the works are there, then the public have access to that. You don't have to be a member of Lancashire Authors.
Well, no, absolutely. I mean, I'm not saying they'd be able to go in there and get the work themselves, but I mean, under circumstances they would, because we've had people from universities in America come into research,
right,
and they've been given permission to go in the library and do the research. But normally, if it's a book that they want to borrow, we can facilitate that too.
And my understanding is that there's a database as well.
Yes, it
is. Of all the works that are there, which has been catalogued by Brian Foster, another person I've interviewed on a previous
show. Brian Foster,
yes,
our librarian.
Yeah.
Doing a great job.
And that database you have put onto the website.
I have, yes, it's on the website now for people.
So if anybody wants to know
what's in the library
that's associated with the Lancashire Authors Association, they can look it up on the Lancashire Authors Association website.
They certainly can. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So that's great. Okay. Well, I think we're going to have a little bit of a tune now, because I think you've selected a few songs that you'd like to play for us. And the first one is Sand and Water, Beth Nielsen Chapman.
All alone, I sat and cried. All alone, I had to find some meaning in the center of the pain I felt inside. All alone I came into this world. All alone I will someday die. Solid stone is just sand and water, baby. Sand and water and a million gone by. I will see you in the light of a thousand suns. I will hear you in the sound of the waves. raise this charm. Flesh and bone, he's just bursting towards tomorrow, and his laughter fills my world and wears your smile. I will see you in the light of a thousand suns. I will hear you in the sound of the waves. I will know you when I come, as we all will come through the doors beyond. All alone I came into this world. All alone I will someday die. Solid stone is just sand and water, baby. Sand and water in a million years gone.
Hello and welcome back to the D. Garrett Nadeau presentation of Lancashire Authors. That was Sand and Water, Beth Nielsen Chapman. Peter, is there a reason that you chose that particular song?
Yeah, I only actually heard that probably in the late 90s, and I was just struck by it. And actually, if I'm not careful, it makes me cry every time I hear it. But she wrote it about her dead husband. Her husband died when her little boy was very young. And it's about her son growing up without a father, and about how she'll meet him again sometime else. But you'll know more when you hear. Well, you've heard the song, and you'll know more. You know, people will know more about it when they've listened to it themselves than me just talking about it. But yeah. It's one that really touched me.
Yeah, very poignant. Yeah, I think that's the thing about art, about sort of writing about poetry, novels, and things is the emotional impact they can have, and I think that's very significant. Before we move any further, I'd like to mention the website for Lancashire Authors, just in case people don't know it. It's www.lancashireauthorsassociation.co.uk. So certainly if you're listening in and you want to have a little look at that after you've heard the show, I think Lancashire Authors would be much appreciative, and you might think of wanting to join the Lancashire Authors.
And we do try to keep it like a living site where we keep updating it as much as we can as well. When I joined, I was 41 when I joined, and people at 41 don't seem to join anymore. And this is what we're striving to do, bring the younger people back, because otherwise when this lot's gone, the organisation's going to die, and nobody wants that. So
yeah. We do. Well, it's been going since 1909, hasn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
So it would be a shame if
it would be absolutely tragic
if it disappeared. Yeah. Well, I mean, even younger than 41 will accept members down to the age of...
Oh, God, yeah. Well, we're actually doing initiatives for young people, for school children. We've actually been in schools and you know, given presentations and asked them to do little bits about themselves, and we've even made a book about them. Sean and Olive actually sponsored a book and he gave them it at the meeting there. So yeah, we encourage everybody that writes, everybody that's interested in Lancashire writing or history of Lancashire, to join us.
What do you think are the... Let's talk about the advantages of joining the Lancashire Authors Association. I mean, I've become a member of the Lancashire Authors Association, and I think it's great for a number of reasons, but maybe we can hear what you think about why you joined and why you think it's... why you would ask and advise other people to join.
Well, when I joined, I mean, there were over 200 members, and every meeting was vibrant, and you always got something different. You could hear people doing dialect quite regularly, but you also got people reading stories, doing standard English, doing poems, and I myself used to write these sketches, which I used to do with the General Secretary, and they went down quite well as well. So I think it's a meeting of all the different aspects of writing, and it's really, and going to different places means that you're meeting people from other towns and other cities who you wouldn't normally meet.
So it's a good social occasion.
Oh,
you get
absolutely.
To meet other authors and
absolutely.
Other people who are interested in writing. And you don't actually have to be an author or a writer to,
well, no, as
to
I
be
said,
a member.
You could just need to be interested in Lancashire and its history. I mean, if you're interested in the history of Lancashire, then we do a lot about that. I mean, we have several competitions, and one of them is actually about Lancashire-based competition about writing about Lancashire.
Yeah, so, I was going to mention that as another benefit, is it the competitions
absolutely,
that the association...
I think there's seven competitions we have at the moment, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's very good. And people get to read, they get to read a little bit of your work, and you get patrons reading their work as well. And it's the sense of humor that I like, too. I think there's a strong thread of humor that runs through many of the work that the authors do. Some of the people that I've interviewed,
oh, yeah. I mean, I remember in the past, there's a Billy Bowles trophy now. Well, Billy Bowles is actually Clifford Hayworth. And when he used to come to the meetings, he had everybody in stitches. He was so brilliant. And even when I used to see him in the 90s, he was in his late 70s, I think, and he's no longer with us. But that's the sort of thing. I mean, we had Jim Atherton, another one who could really put these poems over. And we have a guy called Ron Standring, who is a member now, but doesn't keep too well. And he's in his 80s, and when he comes, he's brilliant as well.
Yeah. So it's a really good association to belong to. I think you've done some writing yourself. You've written some poems, and you're... Maybe we can urge you to read a poem or two for us in the show.
Oh, yes,
now.
If you twist my arm.
Oh, okay, if I twist your arm. Perhaps we'll begin with a poem.
Yeah, okay. This is called Assorted Ailments, and it happened right at the time when I left work and I found out I had diabetes and other things, and I just thought I'd write a little poem about it, because if you don't laugh about it, you cry about it, so I like to try and be upbeat. So here is Assorted Ailment. I left my job some years ago, retirement through ill health, and then I took to writing to supplement my wealth. It didn't quite work out that way, I haven't made it yet, but still I keep on trying, I always will, you bet. Anxiety, stress and pressure had finally taken toll. I also got an ulcer along my stomach wall. But by following a diet, the ulcer was controlled. I carried on the writing, but very little sold. Then earlier this very year, a routine urine test indicated diabetes along with all the rest. And as I got my diet in line with my condition, I started with hay fever and consulted my physician. The doctor diagnosed asthma, which took my breath away, gave me two inhalers to take several puffs a day. I also had a temperature, and so I went to bed. Took plenty fluid orally, just like my doctor said. But when testing for sugar in my urine, it appeared. All of those fruit cordials made my diastics look weird. And still my chest was wheezing as I struggled for my death. It was as these two conditions were fighting to the death. But I'm sure that I will manage, find a way to cope. Life is left meant for living, not to sit and mope. And I still got my writing, which I know will sell someday. I really do love doing it, and someday it will pay. The other day I got a form to become an organ donor. I filled it in and sent it back. I thought it was an honour. A man replied by the next post. His name, it was Carruthers. Said they'd not done much for me. Why palm them off on others? I know I must be positive, forget about my ills, and so I keep on writing and keep taking the pills. I think that all will be okay as I sit by my lamp and offer up a silent prayer. I don't get writer's cramp.
Well, that's fortunate, isn't it? Well, excellent poem, Peter. Thank you very much. It does touch on a theme or a topic that does interest me, which is when one does some writing, one has two options in terms of emotional impact. You have the option of making a tragedy or the option of making a comedy. I think nowadays I prefer something that amuses me or that has an uplifting ending that makes me feel good about life, the universe, and everything. There seems to be so much going on in the world that isn't very much fun or isn't happy. It's nice to be happy.
Well, I spoke to, I did an interview with Jim Atherton, I think I mentioned briefly earlier, and he goes around reading these poems, and he said that writing your poetry is 60% humor and 40% pathos. You think that's about the right mixture?
Oh, that's an interesting. Yeah. I hadn't heard anybody sort of approach it that way. Yeah, that's a good point. You have to have a mix, don't you?
Of
the two emotions. Mm-hmm. Even Shakespeare, I think, did that. He had his tragedies would have what they called comic relief in them. So I think it's important to have that. Maybe it's time for a bit of music because we haven't had some music for a while. I think you've chosen a second tune for us, which is Happy by Pharrell Williams.
Yes, I put this one in because although it's a very recent one, it's very upbeat and I think it makes everybody happy, as it says on the tin.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
Okay, that was Happy by Pharrell Williams. Peter, just give us an idea of why you chose that.
Well, that song's quite a recent one, really. It's from Despicable Me 3, I think it is, and I think it's on his album called Girl. The reason I chose that is because after the first song, which was quite sad, I thought I needed a catalyst to that. So And that one really does make me happy. It makes everybody I know makes them smile, and it's played all over the place. So, yes, I really like that song.
We've got time, I think, for Peter to read another poem, one that he's written called Perfection. Peter, over to you.
Yeah, I wrote this poem in 1995 at the birth of my first grandson. That was what inspired it. And it's called Perfection, as Dana just said. Until they make a camera that photographs the soul, the world will never start to see the beauty I behold. When I look deeply in your eyes, the wonder that I see, exclusively revealed to me, just sets my spirit free. I see a world that's loving, where violence is unknown, a world I briefly live in when we are on our own. There is no greed nor hunger in our private paradise, no room for evil thoughts and deeds, no calumny or vice. How wonderful the world would be if everyone could see the beauty born of innocence that you now show to me. I wish that innocence could last as I stand here beguiled and look into your perfect soul, my precious newborn child.
A fine poem, that. Thank you very much, Peter. Peter, I know you've got your you don't want me to say this, but you've got your fingers in many pies, and you've done lots of things with lots of different groups of people. And one of the ones is the Oswald Twistle Writers, and I've joined that group as well. And you head that, run that group. And as one of the projects that you worked on and you produced is a book. Do you want to tell us a little bit about how that came about and who contributed and all of that, how that works?
Well, first of all, Oswald Twistle Writers came about in 2010 when I approached Susan Jabari, who was the manager of Oswald Twistle Library, and said that there could be the need for a writers group. We advertised, we put posters up, and we had a meeting. I think about 10 people came to that initial meeting, and that was in October 2010, and now we've been going nearly 4 years. Last year, we decided that we'd like to have some sort of an anthology, and a lady called Nicola Ormrod came to one of the meetings. At that time, she owned Carabeth Publishing, and she said she would publish a book. So I gathered all the stuff together and presented it to Nicola, and just before we were going to publish, unfortunately, Carabeth sadly closed. Rather than walk away, Nicola was very kind and gave us her time to help us put this book on CreateSpace, and now the book has actually come out. And it's a collaboration between our group, Oswald Twistle Writers, and a group that my daughter was involved in for a while, Roville Aspiring Writers in Australia. And between us, we produced 200 pages, and even though I say so myself, I think it's quite a good read. But that is for the person who buys it to decide, of course.
So what's the book called again?
It's called Four Seasons and Two Continents, or Four Seasons, Two Continents.
Yeah. Four Seasons, Two Continents. And it's available on Amazon?
It's available on Amazon. I think it's at £5.83. Yeah.
Right. And is it on Kindle? Can you get it on Kindle
it's
as well?
It's on Kindle before it was on Amazon. I think that's about 77 pence the last time I looked.
It's quite reasonably priced on Kindle. Mm. And it's available worldwide, isn't it? It's available in America.
Oh, absolutely,
In Australia as well as Europe and England. That's the great thing about today. I mean, publishing is easier nowadays. It's easier to self-publish, certainly through Amazon. I think lots of people are doing that. Lots of authors are doing that. The problem, of course, is that there are now hundreds of thousands of books on Amazon, and I suppose it's trying to find the ones that you want to read as an individual.
Yeah, I think, although at one time you had to get a publisher to write your book before you could get anywhere with it, and that doesn't apply anymore because of CreateSpace and other things like it. The problem also is that everybody else is doing it as well, so your competition is still as great as ever it was, if not greater. Yeah. And you need some sort of a handle to promote your stuff. And I mean, I don't know, with an anthology, I think really the people who wrote in the anthology are going to be more interested in it than anybody else, and their families will want to read it. But beyond that, maybe not a massive appeal.
Well, I don't know.
To
I think the poetry is pretty good in there, and the writing is pretty good. I think I can envision people outside sort of the group or the group of writers who would be interested in it. Although I know writers groups do produce anthologies. I mean, other writers groups I've been members of have produced anthologies as well. And I think it's something that writers groups like to do.
I mean, I do hope you're right. I mean, I do hope that people will buy it and will enjoy it.
I think
only time will tell, of course. And
yeah, all I mean, 77 pence is nothing, is it? I mean,
no.
You should be able to sort of afford that if you have a Kindle. I should also say about Kindle, sometimes, because I know my book, The Cloven Pine, has come out on Kindle, and people were saying to me, well, I don't have a Kindle. You don't have to have a Kindle, because you can download for free the Kindle app on your iPad.
If you've got a tablet, you can download the apps
onto
anyway.
Yeah, a tablet or whatever. Or even onto your computer.
Of course,
sitting at your computer to in order to read it. I should mention that Nicola also helped me. I mean, I was in the same situation.
Well, we went down to Glossop to see her together, didn't we?
We did. She was great. She was fantastic. Been very, very helpful. And I don't think the Cloven Pine would exist now if it weren't for you and Nicola. So I'm very grateful to you both for that happening. Have we got time for another poem? Have you got another poem there that you can read to us?
Yeah, this is something I wrote probably just after the lottery came out. So if it sounds a bit dated, that could be why. But here it is. It's called Thanks a Lottery. I went to Asda, not to shop, but to go and buy my ticket. The lottery habit has swept the land. No one seems able to kick it. No wonder it's so popular with millions to be won. For as little as £1 stake, that's not right anymore either. It really is quite fun. I took my lottery card back home to select my combination. To try to scoop the jackpot prize would require some concentration. I looked around for inspiration, and there upon the wall, a spider with eight legs I spied. Towards me it did crawl. So on my card a line through eight. Now for my next selection. I quickly counted 45 in my compact disc collection. Two numbers down and four to go. My dog looks up and begs. His eyes are turned towards the fridge where there's a dozen eggs. 12 I cross out on the card, and now I'm halfway there. I go up to the bathroom now and I count 13 stairs. The date upon my toilet bowl says made in 39. That's five I've picked, just one more left, and I am doing fine. Going back down 13 steps, that totals 26. I mark that number on my card and take it back, quick sticks. I hand it to them on the desk and then collect my ticket. I go home, turn the telly on. I don't think I can stick it. The first ball goes inside the tube. The colour it is yellow. The number it is 45. So I'm a hopeful fellow. As the next ball comes around, it is blue I see. It's got to be 13, I know, because I've already seen the three. On to the next ball. This time it's green, and though I'm feeling fine, my heart jumps up into my throat. It's number 39. Three out of the bag and three to go. The next ball out is pink. Oh, my God, it's 26. And makes me start to think, what would I do with all that cash if the last two balls are kind? With clenched teeth, I force myself to put it out my mind. But now the next ball's on its way, another blue I see. And what's that I see? It's number 12. I can't contain my glee. By now I sit in a cold sweat with just one ball to go. Dare I look or should I hide? I really do not know. A white ball now reveals itself. On tenterhooks I wait. Is that two circles I can see? It is. It's number 8. I shake in front of my TV as I jot down the code and the number to ring to make my claim to collect what I am owed. A voice comes on and asks me for the details of my claim. I read to him the info of how I won the game. He then takes me my number and promises to ring when he has sorted out my claim and checked on everything. When the phone rings, I pick it up. It is the lottery man. He tells me of a problem and to stay calm if I can. Due to a glitch in the machine, my numbers were not stored until after 7:30, so there is no reward. He said there was a bright side, and I found it hard to speak. My numbers that had been left out were in the draw next week. The update comes on after 9. They announce no winning ticket, and if I had that bonus ball, I know just where I'd stick it.
I won't ask you whether that's based on a true story or not. Unless you want to tell us.
No, it's purely imagination.
I guess it's everybody's fear, though, that's going to happen, that somehow you're going to pick all the right numbers and then sort of it's not going to work out for you at the end. Are you a regular? Are you a gambling man? Would you say?
Well, I'm not a gambling man as much as I used to be. I used to like a flutter on the horses, which I only do on a Saturday now. But I do the lottery. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So the horses are your bag in terms.
Well,
of...
only on a Saturday, and just for a bit of interest.
You don't have a flutter on the football. I bet you have a flutter on the football.
No, I don't bother with the football apart from the World Cup, which I'm waiting for Argentina to win.
Oh, are you? Okay. Well, by the time the show goes out, we might know.
We'll know, won't we?
Okay, maybe time for a tune now, another song. I just don't know what to do with myself. Dusty Springfield.
Yeah, the reason I chose this is because, well, it's from the 60s, and I was going out with this girl, and she went away on holiday, and this song was in the charts at that time, and that's just how I felt.
What to do with myself. I'm so used to doing everything with you, planning everything for two, and now that we're through, I just don't know what to do with my time. I'm so lonesome for you, it's a crime. Like a summer rose.
That was I Just Don't Know What to Do with Myself, Dusty Springfield. This is D. Garrett Nadeau with presenting the Lancashire Authors Association with Peter Jones. Peter, you've told us a little bit about your life and about sort of your writing experiences and read a few poems to us. But on the business side, we want to talk a little bit more about that. We've talked a little bit about your website developments. And I think you do some editing as well. So I think there's two sides to your business. And isn't there a website where people can go to if they want to hire you to get some work done? Can you tell us a little bit about sort of how people would go about sort of getting in touch with you if they wanted you to do some work for them, either editing or creating a website?
Well, I do editing, but I actually started my own business recently as a web designer and photographer. And the photography is quite a big aspect to that because it also enters into web design because you always need to illustrate a website. Mm. But at the same time, I do weddings and stuff like that as well.
Oh, right.
And people's pets, anything really. You know, so I'm trying to, at 65 years old, I'm trying to start my own business. So, you know, any little plug would help. But the thing is that the editing is a sort of an aside to all that. It's something I can do. I've edited about 4 books now, which obviously will be part of the business if I start making money at it. But we'll have to see on that one. It just depends how many people want what doing and whether I can actually arrange a price that means I'm profiting, because I've been a little bit, I'm not really a good businessman, and I tend to say, oh, you can have that for nothing this time. And obviously I've been told off by my business advisor that no, you cannot do that. You've got to start
making money
bit,
as a business.
Yeah, you've got to start making money. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I suppose it's one of these things. It's not second nature to me. But I'll get there in the end.
So how do people get in touch with you? What's the website?
My website's still under construction. I've been that busy with the Lancashire Authors website and the Acorn News website, which is a massive website, which
yeah,
I
we haven't talked about that.
Tracy, that I haven't had time to develop my own site, which is a bit daft because that's the one that's going to make me money.
So
it's Peter's Web Pixels is the business name, and it's www.peterswebpixels.co.uk. But as I say, it's still under construction, but hopefully in the next few weeks, it's going to go up and it's going to be a good beacon to my business. So
yeah.
I hope so.
So Peter's Web Pixels, it's all one word.
It is, yeah.
PETERSWEB.
Yeah, .co.uk.
ELS.
That's right.
.co.uk. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we'll look forward to seeing that. Do you want to talk a little bit about your other website, which we haven't mentioned, which is with the Acorn News?
Oh, the Acorn News website. Yeah. Well, that came about really. Really funny how it came about, because I've been doing a monthly column for them for over a year now, and this column, the guy who was doing the website kept missing bits off it or changing my titles, and so I complained a little bit, and I noticed he missed other things as well, so I kept complaining to Tracy, big mistake. She then said, oh, well, can you do it for me then? So I got that job as well. And she couldn't pay me, but to be fair to Tracy, she gave me an advert in the magazine every month, which is worth about £150, so I can't complain. And also, we're doing a venture now. We went to Aussie Carnival, take some photographs, and we'll put them on the website for people to buy if they want them. So, yeah, so between us, we're carving out a little business opportunity there as well, I suppose.
Right. Maybe I should explain a little bit, because we sometimes make assumptions here in Lancashire that people know, listeners who are sort of far afield know what we're talking about. I should say that Aussie is Oswald Twistle, which is an area is a separate town. Quite close to Accrington. It's attached to Accrington.
It's actually, it's a separate town. It used to be Church and Oswald Twistle. It used to be one town. And I think Church and Oswald Twistle are still grouped together for different aspects. But yes, it is a town. I think the population is around 13,000.
Right. So it's good to explain that for our American listeners, if we have American listeners out.
Yeah, because if you say Aussie, then people think of Australia
right away, don't they?
No, it's Oswald Twistle. But then you see, people don't tend to know what Oswald Twistle is either, because it's a very unusual name.
It is an unusual name, yeah. So, but also Acorn News, the circulation for Acorn News, it's a little magazine, newspaper.
Well, it's a free sheet that goes around Hyndburn area, which is like...
Hang on, you better explain what Hyndburn is.
I'm going to just explain that to you. Okay. Accrington, Rishton, Great Harwood, Church and Oswald Twistle, and Baxenden. And if I missed any out, I apologise to you folks. But yeah, it circulates to about 13,000 homes.
That all makes up the Hyndburn area,
It circulates to about 13,000 homes through Hyndburn.
Okay,
so,
okay. Yeah. So those of you who sort of haven't got your maps out, we should probably say that Accrington is, I always say, between Blackburn and Burnley, if you want to sort of look it up on the map, sort of north of Manchester, sort of we're getting closer to where
folks I think the nearest,
might know.
Well, the nearest city now is Preston. The nearest city is Accrington, is Preston, which is just for a little bit up the road north, about 18 miles.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But
it's easier to get to Accrington or to get to Manchester than it is to get to Preston, isn't it, really?
From here, no.
Do you not think so?
No.
Oh, I do. Because you can get the bus to Manchester.
Oh, yeah, we can get the bus to Preston.
Okay, is there one bus that goes to Preston? Where
oh,
you,
yeah.
Oh, right.
Well, as far as I know, I've never actually...
I can get the train to Preston. I'm not sure about getting the bus. Well, you're probably right. I don't... What do I know? I've not lived
but
there
it,
that
But
long.
it is between Blackburn and Burnley.
Yeah. Do you think Lancashire as a county is quite diverse? Or do you think there's a quite... Is it the people who live in Lancashire... Do they tend to mix east, west, north, south, or is there kind of a division between the east and west?
Lancashire is very, very diverse because you get the Ribble Valley, which is a world apart from the rural centres like Accrington and Blackburn, where it used to be a lot of smoke. Obviously, there's not as much smoke, there's not much industry now, but like the rural bits. Sorry, I should say the urban bits like Accrington and Blackburn, but the rural bits, the countryside around Ribble Valley is beautiful, but with that, you get the farmers and you also get quite a few landowners who are quite well to do. So there is definitely a divide. And then you go to Manchester and it's a different thing altogether. Because Manchester was obviously part of Lancashire and to many Manchester people, it still is.
Yeah.
And Liverpool as well. But they're all different sort of communities and they all have different aspects to them.
Lancashire's quite a big county.
I mean, and that's
really?
Not to even mention Morecambe and Lancaster in the north. And again, you know, there's a lot of differences in the
traditionally,
area.
There's been quite a rivalry between Lancashire and Yorkshire. Mm. Do you still think that there is that kind of a rivalry?
Well, a friendly rivalry. I mean, we joke that people are born the wrong side of the border and stuff like that, but it is only a friendly rivalry. Yeah. And I think, on the whole, if it was the North versus South, the Lancashire people and the Yorkshire people would stick together.
Do you think there's a divide in England between North and South?
Oh, God,
more of a divide.
Definitely, yeah. I think the people down the South think that more than we do because they think anything north of the Wash is... you know, back in the backwaters.
North of the Wash. That. What's the Wash?
The Wash is I think the Wash is actually around, Lincolnshire, something like that, you
right,
know.
Okay.
And there's written anything north of that, we're all in the backwoods. So,
or north of Birmingham or whatever, yeah. I think there is in the States too, there's a divide between North and South, certainly. We had a civil war over it, but then again, you did too, didn't you? There was a.
Oh, the War of the Roses.
The War of the Roses was.
Also a very good film, by the way.
Yeah. Okay, maybe time for another tune, Innocent Man by Billy Joel.
Some people stay far away from the door if there's a chance of it opening up. They hear a voice in the hall outside and hope that it just passes by. Some people live with the fear of a touch and the anger of having been a fool. They will not listen to anyone, so nobody tells them a lie. I know you're thinking of somebody else, someone who hurt you, but I'm not above making up for the love you've been denying you could ever feel. I'm not above doing anything to restore your faith if I can. Some people see through the eyes of the old before they ever get a look at the young. I'm only willing to hear you cry because I am an innocent man. Some people say they will never believe another promise they hear in the dark, because they only remember too well they heard somebody tell them before.
Some people sleep all alone every night instead of taking a lover to bed. Some people find that it's easier to hate than to wait anymore. I know you don't wanna hear what I say. I know you're gonna keep turning away. But I've been there, and if I can survive, I can keep you alive. I'm not above going through it again. I'm not above being cool for a while. If you're cruel to me, I understand. Some people run from a possible fight. Some people figure they can never win. And although this is a fight I can lose, the accused is an innocent man. That's your decision, but I'm not below anybody I know. If there's a chance of resurrecting a love, I'm not above going back to the start to find out where the heartache began. Some people hope for a miracle cure. Some people just accept the world as it is. I'm not willing to lay down and die because I am an innocent man.
Right, that was Innocent Man, Billy Joel. This is D. Garrett Nadeau presenting Lancashire Authors, and I'm here on the show with Peter Jones. Peter, thank you very much for joining us, and it's been interesting sort of hearing what you've had to say, and certainly interesting about your business. I certainly hope that you do well, and I'm going to have you do some more work for me to promote The Cloven Pine. I'll just get my book mentioned in there. And I think you've got another poem that you can recite for us. So you're going to recite this one, not read it.
Well, this is a little bit of history behind this, because in the 90s there was a program on television called Good Morning with Anne and Nick, and they were after people's poems, and I just thought I'd send this one to them and see what happened. I lost my hair when I was about 17. It started receding. So I wrote this poem called Hair of Today, Gone Tomorrow. And I thought I'd send them that with the benefit of some photographs when I had blonde curly hair, and then afterwards with my daughters when I had lost it all. So I sent it along, not thinking any more about it. It was featured on the programme. I missed it completely, but my dad saw it. And then the lady who promised me the tape of the show left the show, and I never even heard that either. But it was on anyway. And it's called Hair Today, Gone Tomorrow. When I was a little lad with locks so blonde and curly, I never thought I ever would lose it all so early, that by the age of 17 my hair no longer gold was to recede at such a rate I'd soon become quite bald. But for a few years more I found that using ample spray I managed to cover up the gap if combed a certain way. And on the whole it looked quite good. I didn't need a hat, except that on a windy day it lifted like a mat. And when I see the barber, who is a friend of mine, he invites me to come in for a trim and shine. All the same, I'm happy, no reason to complain, though every time I wash it, it falls out and blocks the drain. I have a lovely wife at home, two loving daughters there, My life would be complete if I could have a son and hair.
Very good. I like that poem very much. Again, that sense of humor coming through, which is a hallmark, I would say, of Lancashire authors and Lancashire Authors Association. I think one of the great things about Lancashire, as I keep saying, is a sense of humor. Thank you very much for being with us today, Peter. I certainly hope your business does well, and I look forward to...
Thank you, Danny. It's been a pleasure, as always.
Yeah, great. Okay, time for the last song that you've chosen then, Power of Love by Gabriel Aplin.
Yeah, that's a very interesting one. It was a hit originally for Frankie Goes to Hollywood in the 80s, and I didn't think much of it. But when she sang it, and I think it was under John Lewis advert 2 years ago at Christmas, I thought it was beautiful. And when I hear them sing it now, I have more appreciation for it too.
Oh, that's great. Okay, thanks everybody for joining us. See you next time.
Dreams are like angels, they keep at a bay. Love is the light scaring darkness away. I'm so in love with you. Make love your goal. The power of love, a force from above, cleaning my soul. Flame and burn desire, love with tons of fire, purge the soul. Make love your goal. I'll protect you from the hooded claw. Keep the vampires from your door. When the chips are down, I'll be around with my undying death to fight in love for you. Envy will hurt itself. Let yourself be beautiful, sparkling like flowers and pearls and pretty girls. Love is like an energy rushing and rushing inside of me. Love is pure, the only treasure.